This is a there's a lot of people here. This is awesome, hey? This is fun. Woo! I don't know if we, like, next service, I don't know if no one's going to be there or what. But it looks like you chose a good one. You chose a good one today. I don't know how you made that choice. I don't know what I would do. It's the toss-up between do I sleep in, which we all love, or do I get a full day after church? Or some of you have chosen this one because then you're going to serve in the next one. So, you know, good for you. Way to go. But anyways, I'm excited to be here. Not just excited, but also a little overwhelmed. This morning, I spent a lot of my time in my office just kind of feeling like, in fact, in these last few weeks, feeling like, God, what if I don't have what it takes now? You know, what if we get to this new level in church and we add a service? What happens if things slow down all of a sudden? We're moving forward for a while, and then I find out that I don't have enough leadership. Or I don't have what we need to accomplish the next step. Or I don't have what we need to get to the next place. And honestly, I've been chatting with God about that. And this last week or so, I feel like God, actually it was last week when I was preparing for last week's message that I felt God really say this to me. He said, I didn't realize you only wanted a church that would go as far as your leadership or your potential would take it. Touché. Touche, God. You know, I didn't realize you only wanted a church that would go as far as your leadership could take it, as far as your potential could take it. I didn't realize you only wanted a church that could go as far as even all of us being mobilized could do, as far as all of our finances could accomplish. I didn't know you wanted a church that didn't need me to move forward. As I was sitting in my office this morning, I was praying about that. It's easy to hear it, and it's even easy to preach it. It's harder to live it. And I was praying about that, saying, God, like, what does this mean then? Where are we at? And I had a friend. I had a friend who I text when I need some prayer. He's a friend who lives in Abbotsford, and he texted me back. He said, Evan, October 31st, a year and a half ago, God was starting to talk to you about this church. And at that point, he had this day planned. At that point, he knew we were going to be here. At that point, he knew we were going to walk forward. It's not like God sitting there like, I wonder how it's going to go. He's not sitting there, I wonder what's going to take place next. I wonder if something great is going to happen or not. It's sort of risky and fun, isn't it? Like God's not thinking that. God knows what's next. He knows what's coming. He knows that he has great plans for this Comox Valley if we will depend on him. If we will listen to his voice, if we will allow our hearts to be moved by what moves his heart, if we will do what God has asked us to do, we will get to see what God has planned to do in this Comox Valley. It's so exciting to think that. It's so exciting to imagine that, partly because it takes the pressure off me. No one's waiting on me anymore. As long as I can say it's God's doing it, then you guys aren't going to say, excuse me, Pastor Evan, you had a bad sermon. Now our church is falling apart. I'll say, no, actually, God is still the one we got to follow. Not just me. I told you once before about the first time I ever preached. I was 16 years old, and I preached to my whole church. It was a pretty neat opportunity in Williams Lake. So everything, it's like, once it's in Williams Lake, it's like, okay, less of an opportunity, I guess. Not as great, but... still cool, but not as great, you know. And so anyways, I was there, and I got a chance to preach. They believed in the young people, and they said, let's get Evan up. He's going to preach. And I was petrified. I had no idea what that was going to do. I don't know about that, God. I don't think that's a good idea. I think you should find someone else. I think you should just get someone who's done it before, someone who's got experience, someone who's got some capabilities in that area. Would you just get someone else to do it? I don't think I can. Well, he wasn't changing his mind, and I was going to preach. And so instead, I just started saying, well, then, God, would you take over? Would you do something? Because I don't think I can accomplish what needs to be accomplished. And I so clearly remember knowing in that time that was going to be a truth that stuck with me for the rest of my life. I'm called in my life always. I always have been called to things that I can't accomplish on my own. And for me, I want our church to be in that same spot. I want our church to have dreams that go far beyond what we could accomplish on our own. I want our expectancy to be far greater than what we have in our capabilities, the ability to carry out in our thoughts and our strategies and our structures. I don't want any of that stuff to be able to carry out the dreams that are on our hearts. I want us to dream bigger so that we actually need God. We actually need him to do something. The first sermon I preached then, I had a lot of people, like older people in the church crying and weeping and saying, I love Jesus. And I'm thinking, what happened here? I don't know how I did that. That's awesome. I left there feeling like, hey, look at me. You know, I know how to preach. Yeah, I got this figured out. My second sermon was the worst sermon I've ever heard. I left that first sermon thinking, that is great. I'm so good. And I started carrying on. And then this youth group called me and said, hey, do you want to come and speak at our youth group? And I'm thinking, I speak at churches and people get saved. Why would a youth group? Yeah, no problem. And so I came to this youth group and I said, I remember sitting down and thinking, hey, so tell me about your youth group because, I'm here so I can help you with whatever it is. And they start telling me all about these things. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I know how to do that. I know how to change that. I know how I'll fix that person and all those things. And I get up to speak and it was a mess. I couldn't figure out I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was supposed to say next. I didn't know anything. And certainly God was not blessing that sermon. No one got changed, except some people probably stopped going to youth group if it was their first time. Yep, that's what I expected from a Christian youth group. Yeah, I'm out of here. Like, I don't want, and I'm like getting up and I just start yelling at people. Like, this is what you need to do. It's like, what? If I looked back and I could sit down with me of old, I would have said, what in the world were you thinking? But what I was thinking was that God had helped me once, and so now I could do it. Now I could do it. We're sitting here as a church going to two services. In fact, gone to two services. Something has happened in the last year. Something's been taking place in this church. We've been expanding. We've been growing. I've got exciting things that happen almost every single week. We have stories of people being saved in lots of really special ways. Then we've got stories of people jumping into small groups. We've got new small groups taking place. We've got more people being part of this mission. We've got more mission partners that are starting to come about and we're building relationships with and we're starting to invest in. We've got things happening. It's fun to be a part of, and it would be easy for us now to say, well, that's all happened, so we must be good at church. We must be good at doing this whole church thing. We must be able to carry this out pretty well. I think that would be easily the worst thing that we could do as a church right now. If God has taken us here, I want what God has for us next, and I want God to take us there. I want him to do the next piece as well that we have yet to carry out. We have yet to see. Some of us have yet to dream about. I want him to start to put dreams in our hearts. It's not like once we get good at church, it doesn't matter how long we've done church. We can't do the work of God no matter how long we have done church. I was thinking about a skydiver this week. I have a friend who was in skydiving lessons so that he could be a skydiving teacher, and he would just jump out of planes all the time. They had to get a ton of jumps so that they could start to teach how to jump. And so he was like going all the time, jumping out all the time. And I was thinking about that this week in the context of church and God and what it would look like. And imagine a skydiver saying to you, I'm so experienced in skydiving now. I've practiced so much. I've been on so many jumps that I actually no longer need a parachute. You would say you're crazy. That's not how it works. Don't you get it? The parachute is what keeps you up. No, you're going to die if you do that. The same is true for church. This church will die if we decide that we know how to do church and we forget that it's God that gives us life. God that changes lives. God that's going to spur new leadership on. God that's going to put new missions in hearts in this church. God that's going to bring people and financial miracles that will take place so that we can see greater things happen in the Comox Valley. It's God who's going to do it. He will do it. I want to read you a scripture. Last week I told you I'd be following up a little bit from 2 Samuel, where Nathan, last week I talked about Nathan and David. We talked about friendship. And David, this king, had a guy named Nathan, a prophet, spend some time with him. And he pulled him closely so that when things weren't going well, he could ask Nathan and Nathan would encourage him. And Nathan would tell him straight what was happening. And he would sometimes lay David back down on his back and say, "You're being dumb. That's what's happening right here." And Nathan was capable of doing that with David. David pulled him in as a friend. And last week I ended off when Nathan had just come and rebuked David about something that had been done. Because at the beginning, David wasn't much of anything. And God reached him. Nathan was there. And God gave him a plan and a purpose. And all of a sudden, Nathan and David are like, "Can you believe it? We've got a plan. We've got stuff going on. It's exciting." And they start living out life together. And after a while, David sort of forgets about God. He starts living on his own. He starts following his own plans and eventually makes some really bad decisions. And Nathan comes up to him and told him a story. Last week, that's what happened. Told him a story. The primary character in that story was David. So we said last week, "Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. You are the man who's done all these atrocious things. You're the man who's wrecked lives. You're the man who's done things that you should have never done.'" If you don't know the story, you should read it. It's in 2 Samuel 12. "You're the man, David." And I left it at that last week. But now I want to read to you what I think are some of the hardest, scariest words in Scripture. It says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king, says the Lord to David." David, I did that. If you don't know the story of David, or if you do, you should be reminded anyways, David was the shepherd boy. He was a shepherd boy that lived out in the field, and when a prophet was coming to town and asked this one dad in town, "Hey, get all your boys, because out of your family, the king of Israel is going to rise up," the dad brought all of his boys except David. David wasn't loved, or he might have been loved, but he wasn't. No one thought anything of him. No one expected anything to happen because of David. "You know, David's just out in the field. We don't want to pull him in. There's no chance he's the one that God would anoint the king. We'll just leave him out in the field." No one had a high hope for David. The prophet comes to town, and eventually he says, "None of these sons are the ones. Where is the other son?" Jesse says, "Oh, he's out in the field, but why would you want him?" They call in David. David comes in to the house, and Saul says, "This is the new king. This is the new king." David's feelings would have been pretty crazy in that moment, because the thing about that is there was already a king. There was already a king in that place. There was already King Saul was already king over Israel. There was already a king. We didn't need another king. And he says, "You're going to be the king. I anointed you, David, when you were nothing. I gave you something. When you were far from where you should be, I empowered you. I told you who you would be. I put a promise in your heart when you weren't anywhere, when no one believed in you. I put that promise in your heart and said, 'I believe in you.'" I feel like God is stirring that up in our church, where he's starting to put dreams and plans in our hearts. And I know we've had dreams and plans before, but he's doing a new work saying, "Hey, I don't want you to just dream for being a church of 350 or 400 people and giving some amount to mission and you know, having some small groups. I wanted you to dream way bigger. I want you to dream for what I'm dreaming for. I want you to dream for what I can promise you." God is going to give us new promises. He says, "I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul." Saul was the king at the time. When David was anointed king, all of a sudden things started happening, and people started liking him, and Saul watched on and got super jealous. He said, "Okay, I don't know who this guy is. He's beating Goliath. He's winning these battles, but I'm going to wipe him out." Saul, the most powerful guy at the time in the area, he gets all of his army, and he decides he's going to kill David. David didn't die. God preserved the promise. "I promised you were going to be king, David. Do you think I just have words for you? That's all?" David, like, chased through the wilderness. He's hiding in caves, and he never dies. Saul can't even kill him. The army can't even kill him, because God had a promise for his life. And God's reminding David of this. David, do you remember what I did for you? Remember what I did for you. He said, I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms. He said, I gave you everything, even that your master had. You were being chased and going to be killed. You were this little shepherd boy that no one believed in. And then all of a sudden, the most powerful person there, you're now living in his house. You have everything that he had. You have all that he had. I have fulfilled the promise. David, do you remember that? And it was at that point that we started last week, because David said, okay, now I have a house. Well, I'm going to build a house for God. And God said to David at that point, you're not building a house for me. I'm still building your house. I still have more. I still have greater things, David. Hold on. I still want to invest in you. Isn't it amazing that God would say that to someone? Isn't it amazing that God would say that to our church? He'd say, you've seen a lot. You've seen some things. You've seen people get saved. You've seen people get healed. You've seen new ministries start up. You've seen people walk in who you'd never imagine walk in and finding life that they never imagined they'd find. You've seen it. And we can start saying, yeah, we better do some work for God here. We better figure out how we're going to build this church now. Thank you, God, for doing that. Thank you for leading us all the way along there. Now, we'll take over from here. We've got some pretty good church experience. Let us figure out this whole church thing. Let us organize ourselves. Let us put the right structures in place and figure out the right opportunities to get our tithing going. And let us make sure that we've got all the right leadership, the best preaching and the best worship and all that stuff. And we'll get it all taken care of now. We're going to honor you, God. And God's saying, hold up. Why do I start it and then you take it over? What I've started, I will complete. What I've started, I will walk through. What I've started, I'm not done with. Until the day of Christ Jesus, the Bible says. Until Jesus returns, God's going to be building this church. He's going to be building this church. And we need to believe it and trust it. And I, as a pastor, need to sometimes get out of the way. Say, God, I don't know the plan exactly, but I know you've got something bigger than me. I don't want to be stuck in a church that's limited to my potential. It doesn't matter if I was the best preacher in the world. I don't want to be stuck in a church that's limited to that potential. I want to be in a church that is unlimited to any person's potential, because we're locked on the potential that God has for us. That's what I want to be a part of. I assume there's a lot of you who want to be a part of the same thing, kind of hope for the same type of thing. You kind of want that to happen in your life too. You kind of want to be a church that's seeing more happen than you could actually imagine. The Bible says that God is the God who does immeasurably more than we could ever ask or we could ever imagine. That's what the Bible says about God. And we start to see it when we allow him to just move and we allow him to start going, when we lock into his plans rather than our potential and our capabilities. So this is what God says. I've given you all of that. And then he says, I gave you all Israel and Judea. There was something that I promised you. I gave you that promise and I gave you more. I actually gave you more than I promised David. And then here's the words that are hard to swallow. He says, and if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. David, if that wasn't enough, if you had asked for more, I wouldn't have said, you greedy pig. I wouldn't have said, you, I've given you so much. Why would you ask for more? David, if you needed more, I would have given you more. If you wanted to see greater things, if you wanted another kingdom, I would have given you another kingdom. Bigger house, I would have given you a bigger house. If you wanted to see more things happen, you wanted to win more battles, I would have done it. Do you know what I never want to hear God say to this church? I would have given you more. I never want to hear God say to this church, I would have given you more. There was more. There was more. You didn't ask for it. There was more, but you stopped relying on me. You started relying on yourself. There was more, but you decided that you could figure out church better than me, because now you got two services. So way to go. Now you know how to do church. That's the worst thing that we could ever hear from God is, I would have given you more, but you didn't require it of me. I believe that we need to have a vision that is so much greater than all of our potential put together in this Comox Valley. I believe we need to have a vision that would open up the doors of the city, of the government to this church. I believe that we need to have a vision that would open up the doors of schools, and people would be saying, we need the church in this Comox Valley. We need you to move. We need Christians who are empowered by their God, that Holy Spirit. We need to see those Christians doing greater things. We need you in this Comox Valley. And sometimes our vision doesn't go beyond these walls. It doesn't go beyond our Christian life that we've had for years, that we've held on to for years, that we know as long as I read my Bible and pray, everything is good. I don't want what's just good. I want what God has for this church and for this Comox Valley. If we hope for what's good, we can do church just fine. We could do church just fine. I've sometimes preached messages where I haven't really felt like God moved in mighty ways, and that will be fine. People can come and enjoy a nice message. I don't want people to enjoy a nice message. I want people to have a life-altering encounter with Jesus Christ. And I want our church to just blow up with excitement because of what Jesus is doing. We don't want to take the next step without God. I remember the moment when I met with Steve October 31st last year. And worship team, you can come up. I remember feeling like I didn't know what I was going to do. Why would I be given a whole church to lead? That seems, I don't know if that's a good idea. Just because I'm bald doesn't mean I'm that ready, God. I remember thinking, how will I do that? I can remember being here. Speaking my first time, freaked out of my mind. I never want that to change. I never want to all of a sudden feel like I'm doing something that I can accomplish. If there's one passion in my heart, it's that I want to be connected to a God that can do greater things than I can do. There's a lot of religions in this world that people can carry out the religion. As long as you do this, 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 and this, you're good. I don't want to be good. I want to see God. I don't want us to just be good. I want us to see God. I don't want us to figure out how we can line up ourselves and do all the right things. I want us to see how God can do more than what's just right to us. More than what makes sense. I don't want to be part of a church that makes sense. God doesn't make sense. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. If that's the God we serve, then why does everything make sense in our church, right? If everything makes sense, we say, yeah, I knew that person would come, and I knew that ministry would start, and I knew that thing would take place, and that thing would happen. Then we're not seeing God move in His power. We're seeing our own strength carried out. We're seeing our own potential carried out. I have lots of ideas. I could sit in my office and write them all down and get us moving on lots of different directions, but if God's not moving, then we're missing the whole point of why we do this. I can't change a heart. I can't change a mind. I can't change someone and make them see that Jesus Christ loves them. I can't do it. I can preach the best message I've ever preached, and maybe they'd raise their hand and maybe they'd say something, but God needs to capture hearts. He needs to change lives. He needs to plant vision into lives so that we would see people empowered to be who God's called them to be. I believe that this church will go in that direction, but the more we grow, the more our dependence on God must grow as well. The more we grow, the more our dependence on God must grow. I want to do something slightly different than we normally do. These guys are going to stay fairly quiet. That's okay. I get quieted sometimes too. As a church, I want us to believe for more than we could carry out. But I bet first we need to get our personal lives in order in that regard. I bet for many of us, like me. I'm in a pastoral role. It's funny, I was thinking about success this week. What does success mean in a pastoral role? What does that mean? Oh, we get a lot of people into church. That's great to count up how many people come. That's exciting. That's not success. Success is listening to God and doing what he says. And that takes you out of your comfort zone. It takes you beyond where you're used to. It takes you beyond what you thought was possible. I bet today God might stir up in some of your hearts some of the personal things that you've decided to give up because they seemed beyond you. And today is a day to reclaim those. Sometimes we give up dreams because they're beyond us. And God's saying, that's where I'll meet you. That's where I want to be. That's where I want you to be. I want you to need me. I want you to need my power for your life. Some of you have given up on someone because they've hurt you too many times. I just can't keep praying for that person. I believe God today is saying, no, you can't. Rely on me and watch what happens, though. You'll start praying like crazy. Start lifting that person up like crazy. You just can't get enough. You start to get excited. You want to tell them all the things that God starts speaking to you. If you're relying on your own compassion to care for someone, you will fail. Good news, though, we all fall short of the glory of God, and God meets us there. It's in our weakness that his strength is perfected, says the Bible. I believe some of you have maybe given up on some dreams of missions, where you felt like there were some certain things that I wanted to do, and I hit a couple roadblocks. I hit a couple things that I just couldn't get past, and I'm not sure what I was supposed to do about those, so I just gave up. Now, today is a day where you commit to praying for those things. Today is a day where you recommit and say, God, I gave up way too easy. I gave up at the end of my potential, but I don't want to give up until the end of your potential. I don't want to give up until you've told me that you can't do it, God. I'll tell you, God's not going to tell you he can't do something. If God places a promise on your heart, then you pray for it, seek it, long for it, desire it until it comes to fruition or you die. Because God has plans for each of us. And he's probably put them on your heart. And I know he's put them on my heart. And we sometimes say, thank you for the dream, God. I tried. I failed. It's done. And God is coming to us today, personally and as a church, and saying, grab hold of those dreams again. They're not done. You thought they were done. I've got them for you, though, again. I've got dreams. I've got plans. I've got a future. I've got a hope. I've got excitement. Some of us think, yeah, but I've failed. I've sinned. I've done the wrong things. Or I'm addicted to drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever it is. Or I'm messed up on my family or my marriage. Oh, no, I've already fallen. I can't reclaim that. I can't do that thing. I can't. And we as a church can say we can or we can't. But I don't want to build a church that we can build. I want to build a church that he can build. And in the same way, I want to empower you today by God's Holy Spirit. I just want to tell you that you can see greater things than you have ever seen if you would just say, I can't, but God can. I lost that dream, but God hasn't forgotten. I lost that passion, God hasn't forgotten. I stopped praying for that, God hasn't forgotten. I stopped letting God run my finances. I started running them myself, and I'm failing in that too. Today's a day where you say, God, we're a church that's trusting in you, and I want to be a person that trusts in you. I want to go where you go. I want to believe that the promises that you put in my heart, you will carry them out. I will hold on to it until you do. Hold on to it until you do. Not until I do, but until you do. Would you just take a moment? These guys are maybe going to sing just quietly over us. I just want you to take this time. Allow God to search your heart. Have you given up on something? Because you're not good enough. Because your potential is too limited. You don't want a life that's limited to your potential. Just like we don't want a church that's limited to my potential. You want a life that's unlimited because of what God can do through you. He can make you winners. He can make you achievers. He can make you overcome the things that you haven't been able to overcome. He can make you love. He can help you love those who you've never been able to love, those who you have so much bitterness towards and you say, I can't forgive them. He can make you forgive them. He can help you with that. He can empower you to go places that you were always afraid to go and do things that you were always too afraid to do. Today, let him search your heart. And rediscover what's been lost, because your potential couldn't carry it out. God today is saying, but mine can. Come on, let him search your heart as we step forward as a church. Let him search your heart. Rediscover it, church. Rediscover it in you. What's been lost? What's been taken from you? Where do you need God to overcome in your life? Where do you need him to overcome in your life? Where do you need him to speak about potential? Where do you need him to speak about vision, about life? Maybe you felt defeated in your finances. You felt defeated in your marriage. You felt defeated in your schoolwork or your job. Whatever it is today, God's saying, I want to give you power to overcome. I want to give you power to overcome. I want to give you power to overcome. Thank you, Lord, that you meet us. Thank you, you empower us. Thank you, Lord, that as individuals and as a church, we're believing that we want something more than what we could just carry out through structure or through good leadership or through a great placement in the city or whatever it is, Lord. We are trusting you for more than what we could do in this church. Help us to believe for it, God. Help us to believe for it together. Lord, the times when this happens, when we start to say, nah, we've tried it before. We've been there. We've heard the same prayer. We've heard the same thing. Lord, today we're trusting you. We're saying we're holding on to this until we see the miracles that we can't accomplish, until we see the lives change that we couldn't change, until we see the financial breakthrough that we couldn't create in this church, until we see the influence in the Comox Valley that we couldn't see, until we see missionaries sent out to the world but we'd never go, until we see those miracles, we're going to hold on to it and say we want something greater than we could accomplish on our own. We want Jesus Christ and his power to reign in this church and no one else's power to reign in this church. This is not a church about Evan. It's not a church about Alan. It's not a church about George or any of our pastoral staff or anyone who's come before or after. This church is about Jesus, and he's got so much more to offer than any of us have to offer, Lord. We give this church to you. Lord, we trust you with the future of it. We believe you have plans for it. We expect greater things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we all stand up and sing this song together?
Above you, there's no other.
amen. Today, if you say, I need that strength, and I've never known that strength, His name is Jesus. You can meet Him today. Say, Lord, I turn away from what I've been trying and all my pursuits and my efforts, and I turn into Your strength and Your life, and I want to know that for my life. If that's you today and you want that, we're going to have a prayer team over here, and you can pray with them. They're going to lead you through what it looks like to follow Jesus and know the life that He offers, and it is life. It's life abundantly. For the rest of you, go and believe for greater than your potential this week. We're not just talking about self-help and making the best you there is. I want better than the best you. I want better than the best church. I want better than the best me. I want something greater than that for us, and the Comox Valley needs it from us. Let's believe for it this week. Have a great week. Thanks for coming to the 9:30 2 service Sunday. We love you guys. See you next week.